We like black and white, to know who's wrong, to know who's right, to have no questions on which side to fight, and see others as enemies, a plight. If only we can keep things simple as yes or no, it makes life easy to go with the flow, as long as we know the water we're riding will go in the right way by what we know. God forbid there be colors or shades of gray. Things that challenge my thoughts or get in the way of how certain things should be today, or at least of how I want them to stay. So we fight and we claw to keep things plain, not realizing simple is often a chain. There's a colorful world that we could gain outside this black and white box we work to maintain. This idea that we want to keep things simple, that we want to keep things black and white, it's... I feel like it's increasingly pervading our worlds, whether it be our support or rejection of a politician, our view of global events, or even our critique or enjoyment of a pop star. When we express a perspective, there's a tendency in our world for people to assume that that's either a blanket affirmation, you must like everything about that person, and therefore they're on our side or they're against us. Or they see it as universal disagreement. And when we say something, there's a feeling, I don't think it's always true, but it feels as though others want us to join them in either full celebration of something or in what can amount to unbridled hate towards someone who just disagrees. Our tendency, and again, it seems to me as though this is increasing, is to want to make things black and white, all or nothing, kind of simple. And the church isn't immune to this. The desire to keep our theology, our beliefs about God and about the church and about how God works in the world, the desire to keep it clear and simple makes it easy to make enemies out of people who don't understand things the same way. I've been in meetings where people were supposed to be discussing an issue where mature, educated, thoughtful Christians have disagreed throughout church history. But when people stood up to make their point, they make it by saying, you know, well, I believe the Bible, and so I think this is true. As though anybody who disagrees with their interpretation somehow doesn't affirm the Bible and is in like rejection of everything that they hold dear. But the Bible is full of something that we call paradoxes. Things that seem like they're opposites, that are hard to hold together and maybe impossible to actually fully rectify or unify. We've been talking about attributes of God in this series, and today we're actually going to explore two. And these two are held as a paradox. And I come to believe that this paradox is actually an amazing encouragement for people who can lean into it. We're talking about these two theological ideas that God is transcendent and immanent. Okay, so bear with me with these kind of theological words here. When we say that God is transcendent, we mean that God is above everything. God is above all of creation, visible and invisible. God is bigger and higher and more than everything that is known and unknown. God transcends it all. This is reflected in passages like Romans 13, 33 to 36. He says, "Oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. How impossible is it for us to understand his decisions and his ways. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give him advice? And who has given him so much that he needs to pay it back? For everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever." The words of God through the prophet Isaiah reflect this too. It says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." God is bigger than anything we know or can even really imagine. This is what the psalmist gets at when The psalmists write about the majesty of God, like in Psalm 8, where it starts, "O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens." The idea that there is a divine force or forces that are bigger than and more powerful than all we can know, it's actually been a foundational belief since before the God that we worship was revealed. Like, humanity has always had the sense that there's something bigger out there than we can actually understand. A huge part of the ancient Hebrew understanding of Yahweh, the God who was revealed to them, was that this God was even bigger and more powerful than any other God. There was this belief that there was this pantheon of gods, but this God was higher and bigger than that. This is reflected in Deuteronomy when the author writes, "For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords. He is the great God, the mighty and awesome God." So you can picture the biggest thing you can imagine. Your God is bigger than that. That's the idea of transcendence. That being said, some of us have perhaps been raised with an emphasis on this transcendent God, this God being so big and powerful that God was kind of beyond us, beyond our understanding, beyond our ability to connect with, beyond any sense that this God could actually really care or understand what we're going through. When things are hard and we struggle to make sense of what's going on, maybe you've heard, maybe even said something like, "Well, God's ways aren't our ways, we just need to trust. So we're never going to understand it because God's just so big and beyond us, so just resign ourselves to it." This transcendence of God can be used to tell us, you know, it's wrong to doubt. God's bigger than us, so any of your doubts just show that you're not trusting in how big God is. Maybe it's to suggest that we shouldn't question. An emphasis on transcendence can leave us wondering if this big and powerful and seemingly distant God cares at all about our reality. Maybe you've had a sense so much of God's transcendence that it leaves you feeling like God is far away, wondering if God cares. Maybe when you read the Bible, you relate strongly to the words of Psalm 22, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away when I groan for help? Every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night I lift my voice, but I find no relief." So we affirm that God is transcendent, but affirming that God is transcendent could leave us feeling very lonely, very wanting something more. The flip side is that God is immanent. That's with an A in the middle, not an I. It doesn't mean he's going to show up at any moment. Immanent means, it comes from a Latin word that means to dwell in or to remain. Immanence is an important concept that relates to, but it goes a bit further than another idea about God, God's omnipresence. Have you heard that word? That God is everywhere. Like, that's the line in the old hymn, "I sing the mighty power of God." It says, "Everywhere that we can be, thou God are present there." That hints at God's immanence, but God's immanence is more than just being everywhere. It's actually dwelling in that reality. Immanence is God's dwelling presence, more than just his everywhereness, his presence in it all. I like Psalm 23. It's very familiar. It starts with a sense of God's everywhereness when it talks about, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. Thank you, God, he provides what we need. He lets me rest in green meadows, he leads me beside peaceful streams." Okay, he points me in the right direction. He renews my strength, he guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. There's a sense that God is with us in all of that. But then it goes on, it says, "Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me." This idea that even in the darkest valley, God is in it with us. Actually present with us in that. It moves beyond God's everywhereness to specifically remind us of that God's dwelling presence. Not just in some general way, but a very specific dwelling within that darkness alongside us. This is, God's imminence is of course made powerfully and perfectly clear in the person of Jesus, who was called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus made the presence, the imminence of God known to us in the flesh. And when Jesus ascended to heaven, he promised to send an advocate, the comforter, the Holy Spirit. And where would that Holy Spirit dwell? In us. Not just near us, but in us. To be in all of the stuff of life with us. Paul wrote it this simply when he wrote to the church in Colossae. He said, and this is the secret, Christ lives in you. What a wonderful affirmation. God is imminent. God is indwelling. He is as close to us as our own being. What a comfort to know that God journeys through all of life's ups and downs, joys and sorrows, highs and struggles, closer to us than we can truly comprehend. But there could be a drawback to overemphasizing God's imminence. In some contexts, this imminence of God might be the primary God that people are introduced to. You know, we grab a hold of texts like John 15, where Jesus said, I no longer call you slaves, now you are my friends. And which is absolutely true, but we can turn God into just our buddy, our pal, one we hang out with, who, you know, surprisingly, this buddy likes all the things and all the people that we do, and dislikes all the things and all the people we don't. And this buddy can maybe never actually challenge us. If God is just imminent, just our close buddy, what happens, though, when things go really bad? When the struggles of life are so overwhelming that we aren't sure we can go on. You know, having God with us in the midst of those times is amazing. But if God is unable to actually do anything more than just kind of get us and hang out with us during those troubling times, what hope do we have? And so we seek to hold on to this unimaginable transcendence of God and this personal imminence of God at the same time. Listen to how Paul leans into this paradox in Ephesians 3. You know, it's kind of highlight when he's like kind of focusing on transcendence and when he's focusing on imminence. It says, when I think of all this, let me find it. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father. There's this imminence that he can just talk to God. This Father who is the creator of everything in heaven and on earth, that's transcendence. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, that's this transcendent God, he's got access to everything, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. That's imminence. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. That's imminence. Your roots will grow down deep into God's love and keep you strong, and you may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. That's transcendence, this expansive love. May you experience the love of Christ, this imminence, though it is too great to understand fully. Transcendence. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. It's this mix back and forth of, we can lean into this because God is bigger than it all, and he's with us in everything. And he's bigger than everything. And he's with us in everything. And because of that, we can look forward to this life that God has for us. Paul goes back and forth between these ideas. It's like, because of God's transcendence, He was able to be immanent. Because of God's immanent, we can connect with the divine transcendence, which in turn fosters a greater awareness of God's immanence and then movement into transcendence. It goes round and round. Holding on to only one of these in a practical way actually blocks our ability to fully understand, embrace, and enjoy the other. Only by embracing the paradox, by accepting that God can't be boxed up or understood as just one thing or the other, are we able to actually grow into the full life God has for us. The writer of Hebrew describes God as one, in Jesus, the one who came in the flesh, describes him as one who understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do. But the context of that verse is talking about how Jesus is living in the transcendent realm, advocating on our behalf. This paradox is why Paul can affirm what he does in Romans 8. In Romans 8, Paul affirms that we are united with Christ by the Spirit of God, but also that God is big enough to be working in the world in ways that are beyond our power and comprehension. That's why he says in verse 28 that God can cause everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. I just want to say, this is not a catch-all, everything's going to be okay passage. This is a redemption passage. That God is imminent enough to be in our pain and transcendent enough to work in the world in a way that can bring life on the other side of it. We'll get to that in a couple of weeks on Easter Sunday. A few quick takeaways for today. That God is both transcendent and imminent should leave us humble. God, even God in the flesh, is so much more than our limited minds can comprehend. And God is so much more personal than we can imagine. I want to know God better. I strive to understand God more. But if I claim that I can fully grasp God, then suddenly I'm setting myself as one who somehow transcends the transcendent, which of course is impossible. I will never be able to fully understand the bigness of God. And if I claim to have the corner on how the immanent God can be present with anyone else, I'm suggesting that God's presence must somehow be mediated through me, which is, of course, absurd. Acknowledging these paradoxical realities that God is imminent and close to each of us in a way that I can't fully understand or explain, and God is bigger and beyond anything I could imagine, should foster a deep humility in us when we think about our connection with God and others' connections with God. And that God is both transcendent and immanent should also bring us comfort. You know, God is in the stuff of life with us. And big enough to not be weighed down by it or hindered from his work by it. So when I feel like I can't take another step, God is with me in that pain. But God's not stopped from taking another step. God is present and powerful. That God is both transcendent and imminent should also foster hope. When we feel alone, God is big enough to not be pushed aside by whether or not we feel the divine presence. When we feel like everything is falling apart, God is big enough to be at work in ways beyond what we can see or know. And when we feel God close, God isn't limited to just being beside us. He's with others too. And when we feel God's presence, but we lack the capacity to be there for someone else or do some things we wish we could do, we can enjoy God's presence and know that God is near to the brokenhearted and present in those places that we just can't be right now. Should foster hope in us. So with humility, with comfort and great hope, I'm just going to read Ephesians 3. 12 to 21, the verses I read before, as a prayer for us this morning. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.